Okay, we're holding on Ramallah from Aleph, the second line from the top. Continuing on, we learned in the Mishnah about the laning and the brachas of the Kohen Gadol, and again, the connection with Arkharic words that also be said in Lashon Kodesh. So the Mishnah had said, the Koder Achre Mos V'Achbe'Olot, the Koder Achre Mos V'Achbe'Olot. The Kohen Gadol would read the section from Achre Mos that talks about Yom Kippur, which is what we lane nowadays also, and he would lane Achbe'Olot, the few psukim from Emor in this section about the Yom Kippur, over there that also talks about Yom Kippur. The Ramah says, Ramini, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Mishnah actually in Megillah says, Midalgin Manovi, then Midalgin Matura. You're allowed to skip around, you're allowed to skip in Novi, in Nasura, but not in Chumash. Skip meaning exactly what it sounds like. We're going from Achrimos to the middle of Emor. You're not allowed to do that in Torah. Yes, but there's a difference, Abaya says, between are you skipping it long enough that meanwhile the Meturgman has finished teaching the last pasuk of the first part of the Kriya, and now everybody's going to have to be sitting there waiting for him to begin the next part, it's a lack of kavod hatzibur, versus when it's Sheshalo Yipsek HaTurgman, when it's not enough time, that'll be a break. From Achrimos to Lamer is not that far. Therefore, you can go to roll the secretary, yeah. Question is, the Gemara says, well, they can't be, because there's a braisa that continues and explains on that Mishnah. Medalgin Manovi ben Medalgin Matura. So we said you're allowed to skip in Novi in that Torah, but you're not allowed to skip in Torah. Bad Kama Medalgin, and how far are you allowed to skip? Implying in Novi, even in Novi where you're allowed to skip, how far are you allowed to skip? Ad Kadeshla Yifsek HaTurgman, only as far. Only so it's not so far that the Maturgamon, that after the Maturgamon is done, there'll be a break before you continue reading. Mitwada Matura Klal Klaloi. Meaning, in other words, that when it comes to Haftarahs, for example, you can be reading Haftarah from one parrot and then skip, remember, everything was written in scrolls in those days, so you want to break off at a certain point and continue a few chapters later, let's say. If it's close enough, if it's close enough that you can roll to the second place while the Meturgamon is translating the last pasuk of the first part, then fine. If not, then not.
And that's the same for the
Torah? No, we're saying for Torah not. Klal d'matura, klal klaloi. It sounds like the Braita, sounds like based on the Braita, that in the Torah you're not allowed to skip at all, even if it's less than the time that the Maturgamon would be interrupting, and only by Novi can you. Elo, Amar Abaya Leikasha, so no, Abaya rather says that there's a different explanation, another way of reconciling it. Can be in Yonachat, can be Shnei in Yonin. It depends whether you're talking about in one topic or in two different topics. Namely, in our Mishnah, we're talking about all of these kriyas that the Kohen Gadol is doing are all on the topic of Yom Kippur. That's, you are allowed to skip. You are allowed to skip from one to the other as long as it's within the time, Shalom Yitzchak HaMatur, as long as it's in the same topic, as long as it's Kadesh Shalom Yitzchak HaMatur, as long as it's not so long a break that the Matur, that'll be a break after the Matur Gaman finishes translating the last pasuk before you get to the next part. Can be Shnei Yonin, whereas when it comes to two in Yonim, then in Torah you cannot skip at all, even if it's adjacent. In Navi, you can. The difference is, Rashi says, that when it comes to Torah, you learn halachas from the Torah. We don't want that people are going to be hearing one part, or you're going to be hearing a kriya about one topic. All of a sudden, he's going to be skipping over to a whole different topic, and people are going to get confused. Whereas when it comes to Navi, big deal. You don't learn mitzvahs from it. It's not so essential if people get a little confused.
Yeah, it's different.
So it's different. So they talk about, for example, that when we lay on a tiny sibur, we lay in the first of the four psukim of Vayichal, and then we continue with Psal Lachashne Lachasavodim Kodeshonim. So how is that? One answer is because the Inyan Echad, because in fact it's considered one topic, the beginning when Moshe davened for the Jewish people after the Chetah Egel, and when Abishah tells them to go up and then get the second Lachas. It's all part of one topic. V'hotanya, and indeed we learn in a Braita that there is that distinction. Medalgin b'Torah b'inyan echad, you can skip in Torah in one topic. When Novi b'shnei inyanim, when it comes to Novi, when it comes to that Torah, you can skip even from one topic to another. V'kan v'kan v'kadesh lo yifsek haTorah. In both cases, though, you can only skip as far as you can roll before the Torah will finish the end of the translation. And the Braita continues, the Ein Medalgin Menavi LeNavi, you're not allowed to skip from one Navi to another. You can't start a Nevuah, you can't start a Torah, for example, with Yeshaya and continue with Yirmiyah, let's say. Over Navi Shoshneim also Medalgin, but you are allowed to skip around in Terei also, because even though Terei also is 12 different Nevi'im, it's all collected together into one Sefer, so it's considered one Navi for that purpose. As long as though you don't skip from the end of the sefer to the beginning. Which means, Rashi says it doesn't literally mean from the end to the beginning. Obviously, that would be much more than the Meturgamon is still busy translating. It means don't go backwards. So within that, there's a lot of discussion in the postgame about the ins and outs of all of this. First of all, when we say you can't go backwards, does it mean only in Treyaser, or does it apply to other Nevi'im as well? What do we have? Maybe not, because, for example, the Haftarah of Parashas Mishpatim, we do most of that Haftarah consists of Yumi of Perek Lamed Daled, and then we skip back and we two Pesukim from the end of Perek Lamed Gimel in order to end on a happy note. So they're going backwards. So maybe in other Nevi'im, other than Treyaser, maybe it's not an issue. As far as Treyaser, what do we do? I mean, one example where we skip from one to the other is the Haftarah of Shabbos Shuvah. We do with the Perek from Hosea, and then we finish off with a few Pesukim from Micha, which is later on in Treyaser. So it's not so bad. When we do Master Yon also, we finish with the same three Pesukim from Micha, and Micha also comes after Yon and Treyaser. So far, so good. With all of that, there are Rishonim, we'll talk about, but in any case, nowadays, or even in the times of the Rishonim, all of this is less of an issue because in those days they leaned the Haftarahs from scrolls of Nach. In later times, it became the minhag that you lean them from Sfarim that are written or nowadays printed specifically for that purpose, like a Chumash or a Haftarah book or whatever that has all the Haftarahs arranged in order. Therefore, there's less of an issue of skipping from one Navi to another because it's all in front of you anyway. There's no Tircha B'Tzibura in the time that it takes to roll from up. Okay. There's no Tircha B'Tzibura in the time that it takes to roll from one to the other. So it's not all. That's the thing. Rashi says there's also the matter of the Tzibur getting confused by the difference in topics. And actually, the Aruch HaShulchan gives a reason. He argues that that's why you're not allowed to skip from one Navi to another. Every Navi has their own style. So there's a bag in there that has our soda and our seltzer and our cups, if you can find it in the fridge. Thanks. So therefore, that would be more confusing to the Sibur if all of a sudden you start off with not only a different topic, but a different style. Yeah, but even that, it's not a full scroll of Nevi'im, though. It's a scroll, and it's not Minhag Ashkenaz in general. I think it's the Minhag of the Gra and his Talmidim. But yes, it's read from a handwritten scroll of Haftarahs. But even so, it's a scroll of Haftarahs. It has each Haftarah in its place in it. So therefore, for example, when you have, let's say, for example, like I say, with Master Yonah, when you have the last three Pesukim over there from Micha in it, then those would all be together in such a scroll. It's right, it's all there, right. And similar, actually, this coming Shabbos, by the way, we're going to have this kind of thing. We're going to have the Haftarah. This Shabbos is going to consist of parts of three different Nevi'im. You have the Haftarah of Shabbos Chanukah, which is a section from Zechariah. Then, because Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, it's also going to be the first and last Sukkim of the Haftarah of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh from Yeshaya. And because it's also Machal Chodesh, because it's 2-day Rosh Chodesh, we're also going to have the first and last Sukkim of Machal Chodesh, which is from Shmuel Aleph. But yeah, again, since it's all printed together, then it's less of an issue. What about it? That's not really relevant to this.
One of the other ones until that point, maybe they were not knowledgeable
than
doing Torah and Haftarah.
Okay.
So. What point
did the... I don't know. I mean, it was trying with without having to find in the Gemara already that I had to do it, but I don't know. Okay, let's talk about it another time, I guess. Okay.
I thought it was relevant here. The people knowledgeable, who you hear if they're skipping that out, they know it was brought out of...
Yeah, I understand, but no, because reviewing the Haftarah is not really an essential part of Shnai Mikra Targum. It's as long as you're reviewing the Parsha and the Targum, you should also review the Haftarah in case you get called up to lane it. But it's not. What's the matter?
What about the
No, so we said there's two things. Rashi said that with Chumash, the problem if you go from one Inyan to another is that people are going to get mixed up. They're going to misunderstand what you're leaning, and therefore they're going to derive wrong halachas or whatever from it. We'll talk about it in a minute. When we get to the next piece of Gemara, the Tosfos Rosh has an explanation that there's two different issues involved in skipping from one part of the Torah or one part of the Navi to another. So we'll get to it. The goal of the Torah, the Mishnah continued that the Kohen Gadol, after he reads those parts from Achrei Moed and from Emor, he rolls up the Torah, he puts it in his lap, And he announces, Yosef Masha Karosev Asmechem Kosev Khan. There's much more than what I read in the Sefer Torah. Now, why did he have to make that announcement? Because the Chol Kachloma, why did he have to do that? Shloi Lahotzi Laz al Sefer Torah. You don't want to have people speak out against the Torah. People don't want, you don't want people to think. Given that the next part, from Parshas Pinchas, he's going to be reading the Pesukim by Yom Kippur by heart, as the Mishnah says. You don't want, for reasons that the Gemara will talk about in a minute, you don't want people to think that that Sefer Torah is missing that section. So therefore, he announces that you should know, I'm not saying it by heart because it's not in the Sefer Torah, I'm saying it by heart for another reason. What's that other reason? So we continue, the section of that begins with Aser, that's in Bamidbar, you say Balpeh. So the question is why? Why not roll the Sefer Torah and link? Now, okay, so Amar Hunha by Yehuda Amar Shesh is sufficient Gerlin Sefer Torah B'tzibur, because you don't roll a Sefer Torah in public, because it'll be Tzir for the Tzibura. Everybody has to sit there while they're rolling the Sefer Torah.
We do today.
We usually don't. Usually we take out multiple Sefer Torah. In this case, you can't do that for reasons that the Gemara is going to talk about in a minute. But nowadays we take out separate Sefer Torah. The Gemara is going to give an example of it in a second. So then you don't have any rolling. It is true that if a Tzibur only has one Sefer Torah, and therefore of necessity, for example, a Shabbos like this one, they have to roll from Mikkeis to Pinchas and then back to Nasai. So if they only have one Sefer Torah, okay, you have no choice. Most of the Rishonim say, and this is the halacha, that in that case, fine, we override the Tzibur, because the fact of the matter is there is a chiyuv. There is a chiyuv to lay in these parts today, so therefore you have no choice. You're going to have to set aside tier for the Tzibur for that thing. But the Melech we'll get to later on. We'll get to later on the Omer, what the deal is with the Melech. So the question is, I mean, we just established the previous section of the Gemara, the previous discussion established that you can't skip from one part of the Torah to another more than Kadesh Yisrael Torah. And why is the Gemara almost like ignoring that and asking the same question? Why not roll the Sefer Torah? So Tosfos Yeshanim in Yomah, where this whole sugya is also discussed, because that's the main place of it, says that all the Gemara is doing is, before we said you're not allowed to skip more than the Chedesh Yiftek HaTorgamon, now we're getting into, well, why not? And the answer is because it would be Tosfos Tzibura, Lefishen Gerlin Secretary of Tzibura. So it's a continuation, basically, of the previous discussion. Before we said that you can't do it, now we're explaining why you can't do it. The Rosh takes a different view of it. The Rosh explains that there's actually two issues involved. I think the thing is in it. There's actually two issues involved, the Rosh says, when it comes to skipping from one part of the Torah to another. There's the issue of rolling, there's the issue of rolling, which therefore if the tzibur is going to have to sit there quietly while it's being done, and meanwhile also not only it's not covered in that tzibur, but also the problem is they're going to get distracted. Meanwhile, like nothing's being laned, so they're going to get distracted from it, and then when you continue laning, they're not going to be paying close attention to it anymore. That's one. The other issue is what Rashi mentioned before, that if you go from one topic to another, then people are going to get mixed up. So therefore, now let's say, for example, to begin with, let's say you roll out, say, for Torah long enough that you've gone, you know, let's say from, you know, you're going to be laning, let's say, something from Vayikra and something from Emor, let's say, it's more than B'chadesh Yisrael HaTorah. Let's say you roll out, say, for Torah HaTchila, 20 columns out. So then you don't have the issue of rolling from one place to another. Maybe there's not that issue of Tirchot HaTzibur. Let's say, but you know what, in those pictures that they have in the last couple of Living Torah videos, when they have those pictures of the king standing over there and leaning from the Torah, they show the Torah rolled out all over the place. So, yeah. Okay, but let's say. So then, there wouldn't be the issue of Tirchot HaTzibur, of rolling from one place to another, but there still can be the issue of that if you start on a different topic, that they're going to get confused. That's why the Gemara is now revisiting. Before we said you can't skip to another Inyan, that's more the matter of that they might get confused. Now we're dealing with a different issue. Leaving that aside, if it's in the same Inyan, why can't you roll from Emor to Pinchas? And the answer is, Tirchot HaTzibura. Yeah. Or not so much, and the Rosh says, that's the thing, it's not only Tirchot HaTzibura, but more also the fact that the Tzibura is going to get distracted. They're gonna think at this point, when they hear that he's finished with Uva Aser, So even so that's the thing, actually. He says, if there's no rolling, if there's the opposite. He says, if there's rolling involved, then fine. Sigil realizes the Kriya is not over yet. You're rolling to the next part. Obviously, there's more of the Kriya left. Therefore, they'll pay attention. If there's no rolling, then it's true there's no Tircha B'Tzibura because you don't have to roll. But on the other hand, you have the issue that they're going to think that meanwhile, while you're finding the place in the next part, they're going to think the laning's over and they're going to get distracted because they don't see you rolling or anything. So therefore, the Gemara has to bring them as two separate issues.
And if you're looking for the next...
That's the thing. So even if you're looking for the next thing without rolling, they're not going to realize you're looking. They're going to think that laning's over. So one other thing, by the way, returning to when we say that on Tanesim, we lane by Echal, and we lane by Echal, and then we skip over to Salacha. One other thing, besides the answer that it's in one Indian, other Mepharshim give the answer that the difference is that's between aliyahs. Between aliyahs, it's not so bad to roll from one place to another in the Torah, because anyway, people know one aliyah is over, the next aliyah is yet to begin, therefore you can roll. As long as it's not too much Tircha B'Tzibura. Whereas over here, it's only one person that comes out of laning everything. Therefore, it's more of an issue to be laning, to be rolling to much further in the Torah.
They didn't have a few
No, it was a few Sefer Torah, of course they had, but that's the next question. Wait. The lazy Sefer Torah of the Achrin of Alikri. Why don't we just bring another Sefer Torah and let him lane the part from Pinchas, the also Shemachai Meshav Kodim, let him lane from that. The answer is, and the reason is because of a pagam of the first one. People are going to think, you know why? Hey, they had to put away the first Sefer Torah, they took out a second one. Must be the first one fossil. You don't want to do that. Rav Shimon, but Lakish Amal Afishim Ein Mevorchen Bracha Shein Etzulicha. Rav Shlakish says the reason is because you don't want to make an unnecessary bracha. It's all the Kohen Gadol laning over there. Like this, if you put away the one Torah and then he takes out another one, you're going to have to make a bracha on the second one. For reasons that a number of Mepharshim talk about, one of them is not the covered to take out a Torah and lane from it without making a bracha over it. The question is, who says the Chalal were concerned about this concept of Pagam, that people are going to think the first Sefer Torah is possible? Well, Amr Rav Yitzchak Napcha, Rav Yitzchak Napcha tells us, Rosh Chodesh came as Shachalis for Shabbos, very much as Man Grama, that this coming Shabbos is this way, when Rosh Chodesh Tevis, which is also during Hanukkah, comes out on Shabbos, maybe Sholosh Torahs, you take out three Sefer Torah, the Torah Achas Min Yonash Oyoim, one you lay in the Parasha, Miketz, the Achas for Rosh Chodesh, the second one you lay in the Parasha of Rosh Chodesh, for Parshas Pinchas, the Achas for Shal Chanukah, and the third one, the Nasi of that day, from Chanukah, from Parshas Nasi. So you see, there's no problem taking out multiple Sefer Torah. Nobody's going to say that you put away the one from Miketz because it's Pasul, now you're going to be taking out the second one. So why are we worried about it here by the Kohen Gadol? The answer is, the difference is that there you're calling three different oilim from three different Sefer Torah. So each one has their own Sefer Torah that they're laning from. There's no pagam in that. Chad gabra, but today sifri, but if you have one person laning out of two different Sefer Torah, then there's going to be if the pagam, then there's going to be pagam. People are going to think that, mela, when you have a new oila, okay, it's a new oila, it's a new topic, everything, people will realize that that's a valid reason to have another Sefer Torah. Especially so you don't have to be Golol B'Tzibur, which was for all the reasons that we talked about before.
As opposed to
when you have one person that claims double, laning everything, then to put away one Sefer Torah and for him to take out another one would be for people to start thinking that the first one is possible.
What?
The different Indian you're b'chlam not allowed to. Well, that's again, according to some Mepharshim, if it's a separate aliyah, you are allowed to do even a different. Well, that's what we do. Rosh Chodesh Tevis, Shechalis, Shabbos. We lay in three different Indianim. We lay in Parshas Miketz. We lay in the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh, and we lay in the Parsha of Hanukkah. The Kohen Gadol is all reading topics about Yom Kippur. But even so, there would still be the problem of Pagam, yeah.
Not
even necessarily in Amoretz. In general, you see that all of a sudden a person was laning from one Sefer Torah, and then all of a sudden you're putting it away, you're taking out another one, people are going to think something's the matter with the first one.
Why should he look into the safer?
Because how is he supposed to get the safer? If he's going to be looking into it, I mean, he's laning from it. If he's laning from it, then yeah, you're back to the problem of Pagam.
You can look into it and pretend he's laning that people will think.
Yeah, I'm not pretending. You're either laning or you're not laning. So like this, he lanes Baalpeh. We talked yesterday to the choice of Shishonim talks and a few other Mepharshim talk how you're allowed to lane Baalpeh, one of them being you're not really doing it to be Motzi the Tzibur anyway. It's basically a Chov on the Kohen Gadol, not like regular Kriyas HaTorah that's a Chov on the Tzibur, because especially in this case, he already lane the primary thing about Yom Kippur, the description of the Avodah and Parshas After Mos. This is just icing on the cake, basically. There are a few different reasons that I brought. Okay. Okay, then the Mishnah had said that the Kohen Gadol says eight brachas on the laning. Turn it up on him, like this. You make the bracha on the Torah the same way as we do in shul. Asher bracha bonim before, asher nasam bonim after. And then he says the bracha for avoda, which is ritzei, and hadar, which is modim, and mechilas oven, which is Rashi says is the middle bracha of the Shemona Esrei of Yom Kippur, beginning from after b'chatanu. The Rambam says it's the bracha slachlanu. All of them are ketikun. All of them are ketiknan. All those according to the regular stuff that you do all year round. Next, he does a bracha al mikdash b'chnei atzmei, a bracha for the Beis Mikdash, that it should continue to stand, that the Shechina should rest there, etc. V'al ha-koyinim b'chnei atzmei, a bracha for the koyinim, that the Eibishter should accept their avoda. V'al Yisrael b'chnei atzmei, a bracha for the Jewish people on their own, that the Eibishter should help them and do whatever they need. V'al Yushalayim b'chnei atzmei, a bracha for Yushalayim by itself, that the Eibishter that should stay standing, etc. We talked yesterday that there are Rishonim who leave out Yushalayim and count the number of brachas differently. And he said, "V'hashar tefila." The rest of what the Kohen Gadol says is tefila. Turn it up on him. We learn in a Braisa. What does it mean, "Hashar tefila"? It means chinur bino vakasha. He davened a plea, a cry, a request. Sh'amcha Yisrael tzirchen leivasha. Your Jewish people need to be saved. Basically, the Rambam says that there's no fixed formula to it. It's whatever current events are going on, whatever specific needs there are that the Jewish people need at that time. The Kohen Gadol would say a tefillah asking that they need help with it. B'chosim b'shemei tefillah. And he finishes off Baruch Hashem b'shemei tefillah. That's his eighth bracha. Mikan ba'elach, afterwards, kol echad ba'echad may be sefer Torah mitech beis sefer Torah. Each person who was there watching all this going on will bring a sefer Torah from his house and lay in it by himself. V'chol kachloma, why do they do that? Kedei laharis chazusa l'rabim, because they wanted to show off the beauty of their sefer Torah to the public. So that this is a source for a couple different poskim and mefarshim talk about the issue of showing off an object that you have for a mitzvah. When you have, for example, in this case, a beautiful Sefer Torah, a beautiful Esther, a beautiful Tefillin, and whatever, is it right to show it off? So on the one hand, we seem to be saying over here, yes, it's fine. On the other hand, they say maybe there's a distinction. A Sefer Torah is different. You're showing off. That way, it'll get more people to want to learn and to be able to want to learn and to be able to want to learn, as opposed to, for example, an Esther, Ladafka. An Esther is an Esther, you know. And in fact, there's a famous Siddish Avart, that they say it's very easy for a person to become a Bar Gaiva from showing off that they have a really nice Esrog, and therefore Esrog is Rosh Hashanah, is Altver any Rego Gaiva. It's brought in many Svarim.
The original
Oh, really?
Sorry,
okay.
I know. What did they read when they got home? When they were the famous Svarim, what were they reading?
No, so they not went home. They would go home, get Torah. So over here, Rashi says they would go home, get their Sefer Torah, bring it back to the Beis Hamikdash, and show it off in public and lane from it. Each person would lane. The parasha of
everybody would come with their Sefer Torah.
Yeah.
Lane what? They all lane about
No, they all lane. What? They all lane for themselves. Yeah, what the parasha of Yom Kippur, the same parasha that the Kohen Gadol just read.
Yeah,
maybe they're holding it.
So Rashi says
this is on Yom Kippur. So how are they carrying on Yom Kippur? So Rashi says over here that evidently that we learned a while back in Yuma, we had it in Beta as well, the question of, we know obviously you have the dinim of not carrying outside on Shabbos. Do the same dinim apply on Yom Kippur? There is an opinion that no, the issue of Hetzal does not apply on Yom Kippur. We learned that. That's not halacha, but there is such an opinion. So first of all Gemara could be going according to that. Second of all, Rashi says another possibility. Yerushalayim was surrounded by a wall, and the gates were closed at night. Therefore, it was the kind of place where they could make an Eruv for the whole city, as we learned way back in Eruvin, that such a city, you're allowed to make an Eruv, you don't even have to leave out any houses in it or whatever. You can make an Eruv for the entire city, and therefore you can carry it in.
Eruv is still standing on Yom Kippur.
Yes, so according to, if you say that Eruv are itself the Yom Kippur, then yes, then the concept of Eruv. So that's what I'm saying. There's two different opinions. One is that the whole concept of Eruv does not apply in Yom Kippur. You're allowed to carry on Yom Kippur just like even without an Eruv, just like you are on Yom Kippur. That's not the halacha. The halacha is, with an Eruv, you can carry on Yom Kippur. It's interesting, though, that in Yuma, the same sugya, Rashi says differently, that the people would bring their Sefer Torah from beforehand, from before Yom Kippur, they'd bring them to the Har HaBayis. And now on Yom Kippur, they would take them out from wherever they had stored them and lay them. So they discuss the question, why does Rashi say differently in the two places? It's interesting. One of the Talmudim of the Noda Yehuda, who wrote a sefer called Shuvah Me'ava, writes one time to his Rebbe, the Noda Yehuda, he says he tries to find for the difference He said there was a period of time when breaches were made in the walls of Yerushalayim by the Greeks or the Romans or whoever it was. So at that point, it's like the Eruv being down. You can't carry anymore. So therefore, Rashi over here must be talking about when the walls were still intact. And Rashi over there in Yoma must be talking about the times when the walls were partially destroyed. The Noda B'Yehuda writes back to him, this is Hevel. This is nonsense. So the Tshuva Me'avah doesn't give up. He writes back a letter playing on the word Hevel a few times. Playing on the word hevel, like from with expressions from Sukkim. He says, I don't know a hevel, like Chaim says, I don't know where, you know, asking where's hevel, I don't know. I don't know where the hevel in this is. Chava says, you know, I have another son, tachas hevel. I don't have another son, tachas hevel. I have no other idea besides this one. So I hope that by Yishah Hashem al hevel, I hope the Eibishter will turn favorably to my hevel and accept it. So the Noda B'Yehuda writes back to him, I'll tell you, the reason I said it's Hevel is because you don't have to say that way. The expression in our Gemara over here is that each person would bring their Sefer Torah to be Toich Beisai, which implies they actually carried it from their house on Yom Kippur. The expression in the Gemara in Yom is each person would bring the Sefer Torah to Mi Beisai, which could imply that the Sefer Torah the rest of the time is in their house and they brought it for, and they brought it before Yom Kippur to the Hanabais. That's why Rashi explains it differently in the two places. Not two different periods, but two different expressions in the Gemara.
What are they reading? They're reading the Parsha of Yom Kippur,
the same Parsha that the Kohen Gadol just read. That's the thing. It's not a matter of being Moitzi. The Kohen Gadol is not laying it in order to be Moitzi to people. He's laying it because he has a Chiyuv as part of it. We learned this way back in Yuma. As part of the Chiyuv of bringing the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, he has a Chiyuv to read the part of the Torah that describes him. For himself, basically. I mean, he's doing it for Sibur, but it's basically for his own Chiyuv. But now everybody else is laying it for themselves, yeah. Very appropriate for this year, being the year of Hakel. Now we're going to talk about the dinim and the inyanim of Hakel. Parshas HaMelech Ketzad. What do we mean the Mishnah?
Are you allowed to read in the Torah without a minyan? Are you allowed to read by yourself in the Torah?
You're allowed to take a Sefer Torah and lay from it. I mean, that's what a Sefer Torah is. I mean, nowadays, maybe not, because we don't usually read from Sefer Torah except for Sibur, so therefore to just take it out to take it out to lay or practice or whatever from might be a lack of cover for it. But in those days, that was what they read, that was what they learned from on a regular basis,
the
Sefer Torah. Yeah, it was the equivalent of a Chumash by us, pretty much, yeah. Okay, so Parshas HaMelech Ketzad. What do we mean that the Parshas HaMelech was read, if we said it had to be in Lashon Kodesh? How was the Parshas HaMelech read? Motzei Yom Tov Rishon Shachag Shachag, on the first night, on the night after the first day of Yom Tov, Bashmini, in the 8th, which the Shmini sounds like Shmini Atzeres, so the Gemara is going to ask about that. It really means Bashminis, in the 8th year, meaning the Metzoi Shvius, the year after Shemitah. Oysen Le'bina Shal Eitz Ba'Azora, they would make for the king a wooden platform in the Azora, which we'll talk about in the Gemara. When we say the Azor, we mean the Ezra's Nashim. V'hu Yoshev Aleh, and the king would sit on it. Shenema, as the pasuk says, V'kitz Sheva Shana B'moyed R'Gomer, at the end of 7 years, at the time of B'moyed Shnat HaShemitah, B'chag HaSukkot, when the whole Jewish people gather together, then you read the Torah. Chazen HaKnesses Neitzel Sefer Torah V'Neitzel L'Rosh HaKnesses, just like with the Kohen Gadol we said yesterday, Chazen HaKnesses, meaning the Shamash, would take a Sefer Torah and give it to the Rosh HaKnesses, meaning the Gabbai. I've also seen another explanation that Rosh HaKnesses means the president of the shul, whatever. V'Rosh HaKnesses Neitzel L'Sgan, he would give it to the Sgan, the deputy Kohen Gadol, V'Afgan Neitzel L'Kohen Gadol, V'Kohen Gadol Neitzel L'Melech, V'Amelech Omer D'Makabal, the king would stand up and take the Sefer Torah, V'Kodeh Yoshev, and lay sitting down. Unlike yesterday, we said the Kohen Gadol had to land standing up because only the king is allowed to sit. In the Azara, here, even if it was in Eretz Yisrael, and the Yerushalmi, that seems to imply as much, nevertheless, the king is allowed, a king from Malchus Beis Dovid is allowed to sit there. Agrippas HaMelech, Omer V'Kibel, Agrippas, who lived, Rashi says, Rashi describes this Agrippas, Melech Yisrael Hoya, he was a Jewish king, Mizare Shal Hordus, he was descended from Hordus, the famous or infamous Hordus. Who just was originally a slave, yeah. Who shenechra besemetesh miyamav. This Agrippas, the besemetesh, was destroyed during his lifetime. Which is interesting, by the way. There were actually two Agrippases in Jewish history. There was a father and a son. The father ruled about 30 or 40 years before the Korban. The son ruled after that. It seems from Nashi that we're talking about the second one. Historians have spilled a lot of ink on the question of which of the two of them it was, because the way he's described over here in the Mishnah, that he was crying, that he realized he's not suitable to be the king, and they all call the king after. It sounds like it's the first one, because the first one was a good guy. The second one, the way Josephus described him, not so much. On the other hand, the way Nashi is saying over here, Shenechra based on Mr. Shriyamov, implies that it was the second one. Right. They both have the same name, yeah. Anyway. So Agrippa the Melech Omer the Kibel, he stood up and took the Sefer Torah, the Kodot Limit, and he read standing up. Shifchu Chachamim, and the Chachamim praised him for that. That he stood in honor of the Torah, as we'll talk about on Omer Beis. This is in the time of the second Beit Hamikdash. There was no Malchus Yehuda. That's we'll talk about on Omer Beis, Mitzvah Shiny. When he reached the pasuk in the section about the mitzvahs of the king, when it says you're not allowed to appoint over yourself an ish nachri, a foreigner, as king, zogu ein of demaris, he started crying because he realized all of a sudden, you know what, I'm not.
What do you mean there's no machzor?
This is in the second Beit Hamikdash. There's no kings of Yehuda at that time. It's finished with the first Beit Hamikdash. There were never any kings of Yehuda in the second Beit Hamikdash. First they were ruled over by the Persians, then by the Greeks, then you had the Chashmonaim who were koyanim.
No,
Malch Yisrael means that he was a Jew. Mizara Shal Hordas. No, it doesn't mean Malch Yisrael was in the Ten Shvatim. It means Malch Yisrael means a Jewish king, but he was descended from Hordas. Now, Hordas was an Eben. There's a famous Gemara that says in Kedushin that since Hordas wiped out the whole family of the Hashmonaim and claimed that he had intermarried with them, anybody who claims nowadays that he's descended from the Hashmonaim is really descended from Hordas and therefore was considered an Eben. But Rashi actually says, Rashi says that this Agrippa, Imo in Yisrael, his mother, was a born Jew. Which leads Tosfos to ask, if that's so, then what's the problem? Then tackle what's the problem? As long as his mother is Jewish, then it's tackle not a problem. So Tosfos wants to say maybe that there's a difference between other minuyim. It's true, as long as Imam Yisrael, we learned back in Yevamos, you're allowed to appoint such a person to other kinds of positions of power, but not as a king. But not as a king. A king has to have a higher standard of Yichus. Meaning he has to be that he can't be descended from Avodim, Ugarim, yeah. He has to be descended from Jews on both sides, yeah. Anyway, so Zogu Einam Dmois, he started crying. So they all said to him, Altis Yari Agrippa, don't be afraid. Ochinu ata ochinu ata. You are a brother, you are a brother. Which the Gemara on Omer Beis is going to have some very harsh things to say about that, yeah. We'll get there. Why did they say ochinu ata twice? The Mephoshim talk about a number of different explanations. An interesting one, Ben Yehoyada says, is they're telling him, you are a brother in the sense that we'll keep you as king, and we're not going to take it away from your descendants either. Although, if according to Rashi, it was the king who the Beit Hamikdash was destroyed in his time, then as a practical matter, none of his descendants became king anyhow. Okay. What does he learn? He reads from the beginning of Chumash Devarim until Shema, the middle of Parshas Vayeshanan, who Shema, then he skips to Vehoyim Shemaya, in the middle of Parshas Eid, towards the end of Parshas Ekev. He skips then to the middle of the A, Aser to Aser. Then he skips from there till Kisachal of Aser, till Parshas Kisove, where it talks about the mitzvah of Vidri Meiser, of getting, making sure that all the mitzvahs go to the proper parties, and then declaring in the Mishmetesh B'yarki HaKodesh Min HaBayis. Parshas HaMelech, and then he goes back and lays the Parshas HaMelech, the Parshas Shoftim, the mitzvahs about appointing a king. Brachas HaKlolos, then he goes back to Kisavah and reads the Brachas HaKlolos. He goes back and forth according to Rashi. Wait. Atchigoy Mekola Parsha until he finishes the Parsha of the Brachas HaKlolos. Now, why did he do it out of order? So Rashi says that you want to put together Aser to Aser and Kisachal Aser because you want to have the two parshiyos that have to do with Truma, with Meiser, you want to put them together. And the reason why it's important to lame those is basically what you're doing over here is the Rambam puts it that Hakel is sort of like a mini recreation of Matan Torah. So you want to have that you're accepting the brithes, and brachos and klolos of the Torah. That's why all that is essential. Why are you including the part of the parshas of Maestros? Because this time of year is when you're bringing in the harvest, and this is the time of year when you're giving truma and maaser. So you want to remind the people about it. Which, you know, the Yerushalmi discusses the issue. I mean, this is the sukkah right after Shemitah. There's no harvest anyway at that point. What Truma and Maaser? So the Yerushalmi gives a different other interesting reason. It says, during the year of Shemitah, since there was no Trumas and Maasers, people may have forgotten about it. Therefore, you need to remind them, now that it's starting a new agricultural season, and eventually, come this time next year, there's going to be Truma and Maaser to give, don't forget it. Don't think because it was suspended by Shemitah, then you can forget about it. There's an interesting exchange. There's an interesting exchange of letters between the Rebbe and Reb Leivik about several different issues and about several different issues over here. You can find the Rebbe's side of it in Reb Shimas and Reb Leivik's side in Mekut de Levi Yitzchak, going back and forth on the pros and cons of this, about, among other things, about this business. What do you mean they would have forgotten over 1 year? I mean, so what about those other mitzvahs that are not in effect during Shemitah either? We don't assume that people will have forgotten them. So Reb Leivik ends up explaining that when you say they may have forgotten it, he has a whole explanation up in Kabbalah about the deeper idea behind it, what it really means. I mean that mentally they may have forgotten about it, but it means that it means there's a certain rufiistic effect that happens during Shemitah, which therefore it has to be re-strengthened after. As far as why he's skipping back and forth for that reason, Rashi also says, we talked about before, you're not allowed to skip B'chdeisha Yitzhak HaTorgamon. What are you doing with that over here? The fact is a lot of these skips are going to be much longer than that. So Rashi says there's no Maturgum for the king anyway. No Maturgumon for the king anyway. Which, no, of course there's a Tzibur. The whole Tzibur is there. And Noshim Batam. So what's the verse? There's no Maturgumon, so why does that make things any better? On the face of it, it means there's more of a weight. There's a lot of different answers that Mephoshim give, including that since we're talking about the king over here, the honor of the king overrides the honor of the Tzibur. The Tzibur is going to have to be sitting there and waiting. Big deal. The covet of the Melech is more important than that. Also, there's the idea that Hakel is a very special thing. Everybody's going to pay attention to that, given what the Rosh was, given what we quoted before from the Rosh, that the problem with skipping and making people wait is they may get distracted and they may not pay attention to the next part, but Hakel is something chaviv, so therefore people are going to pay attention. They would have to keep going instead of carry back and forth, yeah. There's different other answers, one of them being that since there's no Maturgamon, it means I'm just the opposite. Look, even a small break then is going to be a tear for the Tzibura, because there's no Maturgamon, so there's anyway going to be a break, even if you have a short break, like let's say from Shema to Vahaya Mishamaya, which are only one parasha apart. Once you're allowing a small break, then bigger breaks are not such an issue anyway. Having said that, the Rambam has a different girsa, apparently, because the Rambam paskins that what you do is you do from the beginning of Dvarim until Shema, you do Vahayim Shemaya, then the Rambam says you go straight from Aser to Aser all the way until the end of the Barachas of Kolos. You're doing that half of Re'e, all of Shoftim, all of Kisete, and most of Kisavei. And then that's it. The king is reading all of that, yeah. Okay. Brach Achivim Kalapashim. Brachas Shekoin Gober Mavarachos, and the same brachas that the Koin Gober says at the end of his laning, Amelach Mavarachos, and the same brachas the king says, Elish and Nerith and Shoda Golem Tachim Mechilas Oven, except for, we said the third bracha of the Koin Gober was for Al Mechilas Oven, that they should forgive the Jewish people of Eris, which is appropriate for Yom Kippur. This is taking place Chalamoyed Sukkis. Therefore, instead, he would say a bracha appropriate to the regular. He would say, after, according to Rashi, he would say the bracha at the beginning after Bechartanu with the nusach of Sholosh Regalim rather than nusach of Yom Kippur. And according to the Rambam, I guess it would be that it would probably be something similar also. It wouldn't be the bracha Slachlanu, it would be also a bracha appropriate to the Yom Tov. Maybe sort of like the bracha Al HaTorah Al HaBoda that we say after the HaTorah. What else are they supposed to say? I mean, actually, the Gemara's on the wrong days, and they say they shouldn't have even said that. Okay, so the Gemara says, B'shmini Sakhadadach? What do you mean, B'shmini? That sounds like it means on Shmini Atzeres. But earlier in the Mishnah, it said that this takes place on the first, on Matzoi Shvi'is. Which, by the way, there's an interesting discussion. When we say Matzoi Yom Tov Rishon Yom Chag, does that mean the night after the first day of Yom Tov, or does it mean the first day of Yom Tov? There's a sefer that there's a prominent rav 100 odd years ago called the Anjeres, Rabbi Yo David Rabinowitz Toymim. He published a sefer at first anonymously on all the dinim of Hakel, called Zefo the Mikdash, and became a classic. On anybody after that who discusses the dinim of Hakel quotes the sefer. So he discusses, among other things, that it takes place at night. And in that exchange of letters between the Rebbe and Reb Leivik, there's also a bit of discussion about that, whether it takes place at night. So, Eima B'Shminis. No, not B'Shmini, meaning Shmini Atzeres, but rather B'Shminis, in the eighth year. Say, B'chol Hanilom. I mean, why, when the Torah tells us about Hakel, it says, Miket Sheva Shonim B'Moyed Shnasa Shmita B'Chag HaSukkos. Why does the Torah have to say all those details? For example, Miket Sheva Shonim automatically means after Shmita. Tzrichis, we need all of them. Because Rachman Miket, if it only said at the end, Havam in a Nimnim Rehashta, then you would think it means you start counting 7 years from now, from when Moshe is telling this mitzvah to the Yidden, a few weeks before they're entering Eretz Yisrael, rather than counting by Shemitah, even if 7 years or 14 or whatever years from now does not happen to come out after a Shemitah, they only started counting Shemitahs in Yovel's 14 years after they entered Eretz Yisrael. So conceivably, it might have been, for example, that you're going to start counting 7 by 7 years from when Moshe gave them this mitzvah. It wouldn't come out the sukkah after a shmita. Kosev Rachmona Shmita. Therefore, the pasuk besides mentioning Sheva Shanim has to mention the word Shmita. The Kosev Rachmona Shmita, Havam Neva Seif Shmita. That if it only said Shmita, you would think it happens at the end of the Shmita year. Before Rosh Hashanah. Kosev Rachmona Bamoyed. Therefore, the Torah says on the Yom Tov. The Kosev Bamoyed, Havam Neva Seif Shata. Still, you would think it means at the beginning of the year on Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is also Bamoyed. Yeah. And then you would think it could be any of the days of Sukkot, even the last day. Therefore, the Torah says, when all the Jewish people come, which implies they have to the Moed, right from the beginning of the Moed. So then if that's the case, Rashi says, why don't we do it on the first day of Sukkot? And the answer is, because since you need that bima, you need that platform for the king, you can't build it on Yom Tov. You can't build an Am Yom Tov, and you can't build an Erev Yom Tov, because then it'll be too crowded in the Azara. The platform found it was a very big thing. You don't want to take up extra room over there. Other Mephoshim give a different reason. Since the platform is made out of wood, you're not allowed to build wooden structures in the, according to the Rambam anyway, you're not allowed to build wooden structures in the Beis Hamikdash at all. But when it's a temporary thing, when it's a one-day thing, fine. But if they had to build an Erev Yom Tov, and it's there until after the first day Yom Tov, that's already considered permanent enough that there'd be a problem.
Building Chol HaMoed,
exactly. So that's the thing. So Tosfos says what they would do is the platform was made out of pieces that are easily assembled together. They would they do all the nailing and whatever before Yom Tov. On Chol HaMoed, all they have to do is bring the pieces there and assemble them together like a jigsaw puzzle. That you can do Chol HaMoed. And Tosfos also points out that the reason by the Torah saying B'moed implies that it's not going to be on Yom Tov, it's going to be on Chol HaMoed. But therefore, we do it as early as possible. We do it the first day Chalamoyed, not the second or third day or whatever. No, every year they would take it, every time they would take it apart, and then I guess 7 years they'd store it away, and 7 years later they'd bring it out again. Yeah. Hey, we said, again, the same question as the Gemara asked yesterday. This sounds like you're giving puzzle to the Talmud in the presence of the Rav. Again, according to Rashi, the question is why is the Chazan HaKnesses giving it to the Rosh HaKnesses and the Rosh HaKnesses to the Sgan, etc. Each one you're honoring with holding the Sefer Torah in the presence of the king. Shouldn't you be acting as though maybe all the people are equal, are on an equal level, and then the king is higher than all of them? Or according to Tosfos yesterday, the vote was, why is the, when it comes to the next one, the Chazan and the Knesset is not really getting much of a cover from, and the Rosh HaKnesset is not getting that much of a cover from getting it from the Chazan HaKnesset, from the Shamash. The Shamash is a simple guy, as in all the stories where the Shamash of the Shul is a posh to you. But that the next one in the chain, the Sgan gets it from the Rosh HaKnesset, rather than getting it directly from the Shamash, that's giving him cover in the presence of the king. Maybe you shouldn't be doing that. And again, the same answer as yesterday. It's all part of the cover of the Melech, but he sees there's a whole line of people, there's a whole hierarchy of people below him. Okay. He says, the king receives the Sefer Torah and sits the lane. We said Agrippa HaMelech stood up and took the Sefer Torah and read it standing.
It was one time or always?
Yeah, well, whatever time he lay. Actually, the Gemara is going to say soon, the Mishnah just says that they said Ochin Rata without commenting anything about that really being a problem with that. The Gemara is going to tell us about the problem with them saying Ochin Rata. The Rebbe has an interesting explanation about it in a Sicha, that there may have been two different times when Agrippa slained the Hakel. I mean, Pashtus is a king for many years. There may have been two Hakels during his kingship. Maybe the Rebbe said the first time around they felt that he's valid as a king because it actually says Imer Yisrael. So therefore they let it slide, and so therefore then when they said Achinu Atta, like they did in our Mishnah, it wasn't a problem. 7 years later, when it came to the next Hakel, they had rethought about it. They thought more like Tosfos says, that when it comes to a king, you need a higher standard of Yichus. Therefore now, when he's crying again, realizing, wait a minute, you know, maybe there's still that problem, and again they say Achinu Atta, then the Gemara is saying over here that was a negative thing, because already at that point, the halacha had been decided differently.
Chamin didn't tell him the first time.
That the first time that would be, according to the Svart, according to what the Rebbe is saying. It comes out the first time they would have told him, you're fine, you're okay as a king, because we passed in that since he made me Israel, then you're fine. Took him to say, okay, but no, sometime during those 7 years. They might have realized the next day, but whatever it is, not so hot till 7 years later, that becomes a live issue, yeah. Okay. Okay, so again, the question is, Omen Bakal the Yoshev, what do you mean he stands up? Does that imply that all this time he was sitting? Only Malchabes David are allowed to sit in the Azara. And the answer is, just like Rav Chista had said in connection with the Kohen Gadol, that the laning takes place in the Ezes Noshim. Hachanami be'Ezes Noshim. Here also the king is laning in the Ezes Noshim, and therefore Agrippah technically could have sat from the fact that he stood the Chachamim praising for that. I said, v'shepchu chachamim, v'shepchu mikhal v'shaper avat. So you're telling me that means he did good by standing? Ha'amar Rabashi, but didn't Rabashi say, afilu l'manda amar nasi shemacha akvodi kvodi machol, even according to the opinion that if a nasi wants to be mochel on his cover, then he's allowed to, melech shemacha akvodi ain't kvodi machol, but if a king is mochel on his cover, then it's not. He's not able to be mochel. Shenema soim tosim alecha melech, as the posit says, you should place a king on yourself, sh'teyeh mosir alecha, that his awe should be on you, so he can't be mochel on his cover. That man praises it because his covet is the covet of the whole Jewish people. He doesn't have the right to be merciful.
That's the
answer. It's mitzvah shiny. It's different when it's for a mitzvah. Here he's doing it for the covet of the Torah. That's different. Torah just has a long discussion over here about there are cases where a king does something as a mitzvah. For example, we learned from Sobos, the same Agrippas. Also, for example, one time a chassan and a kala were passing by, and he went on a different road in order that they don't have to stop their procession in his honor. So there the Gemara doesn't say mitzvah shiny, it just says it was a crossroads. He was able to go in a different direction. What's the difference? Tosfos says, when it comes to being mechabed, the Eidishter, the Torah, then we can say mitzvah shiny. When it comes to being mechabed, another human being, yes, maybe it's mitzvah, like in the case of a chassan kala, you can't answer mitzvah shiny. Certain Tosfos Malach HaMelech still overrides that. If there had been no other road, then yes, he would have no choice but to go that way and interrupt their procession. And yeah, that's the with David dancing, that's the same idea. It was for Kav Shemayim. Okay, Rosh Yigia Lalois Tzuch HaLosei, so when he came to the Pasuk Lalois Tzuch HaLosei, he started crying, and they said, Ochinu Ata, Tonim Hashmeid Rav Nosson, it says in a Braise in the name of Rav Nosson, V'Ois HaShon Nischai V'Soni Yisro Kloya Shech Nifuloi Lagripas. At that moment, Soni Yisro, which is a euphemism meaning the Jewish people themselves, became worthy to be annihilated, yeah. Because they chanted Agrippas. They falsely said to him that you're able to be king, even though Lahalacha he's not. And actually, Tosfos quotes from the Yerushalmi that it's not just Nischaivu Kloya, but actually many Jews, it says, were killed on that day because they chanted him. And that leads Tosfos into the question, what exactly was the problem? If Imam Yisrael, like Rashi says, then what's the problem exactly? So that leads Tosfos to say that it's different when it comes to a Melech, you need a higher standard.
Both parents have to be born
Jews, yeah. Interesting thing, the Chassam Sofer says that actually when they said Ochinu Ata, they were trying to hint to him like, we consider you Ochinu, but the truth is you're not the kind of Ochicha that it says in the Pasuk that Mikerev Achecha Tosim Olacha Melech. So in effect they were telling him. The reason we're calling it Chanufa is because they didn't tell him outright. They should, instead of telling him something which sounds equivocal, which sounds like they could be saying you're a valid king, and they're not, instead they should have either, Tosfos says what they should have just done is they should have been quiet. They shouldn't have said anything, and he would have understood their silence of disapproval.
We see that the case of Sarah is hiring Jason Marcus.
What's that guy doing?
And, well, Tommy Kacham and Hamza are coming
down. Yeah, very nice, but he still can't be king. So this leads the Gemara into a bit of discussion about Chanufa. It's interesting, by the way, the Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva lists nine different levels of Chanufa. You have Chanufa with the worst kind, which is telling somebody who's done an Aveira, it's okay, what you did is right. You have a kind where you don't tell him the Aveira itself is right, but you say you're a good guy, there's no problem with you. It includes a lot of different things under the heading of Chanufa. It gets into an interesting practical question in halacha sometimes. We know there's a lot of moistus that sometimes, a lot of shluchim, etc., that a lot of their supporters are people who are, shall we say, not so careful with mitzvahs. So we've had... There is that, but still not always. So, okay, that's maybe a heter, but there's an interesting tshuva. There's an interesting tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein where he discusses an issue. There was a congregation someplace where they had a doctor who had done a lot of good for the tzibur. I guess he had donated a lot of money or whatever it was exactly. But he was, Rahman al-Fan, married to a shiksa, very publicly. So they said, fine, giving him an aliyah, we know we're not going to do that. But can we be mechabit him with... No, because that's already giving him public approval. That's already sanctioning that what he's doing is right. That would be chanukah. So they ask, can we give him psichas arim? Is that considered chanukah? And Rav Moshe has a long shuvah where he discusses all the pros and cons of what exactly chanukah consists of. Bekitzur, he ends up saying like this: chanukah would consist of where you're saying about something related to what he's doing as the avera that it's okay. Or even not saying the Aveda specifically, but saying basically you're a good guy. You know, we're like this, but he says you're allowed to praise him and thank him for the things, for the good things that he does that don't have to do with that Aveda, especially over here where there is a need for the tzibur. So therefore, he's not there that yes, you can give this guy psichos aron. You're not gonna say that you know you're intermarried, but it's okay. We're gonna give you this covered. You're not gonna mention it. We're honoring you with psichos aron because of all the good you've done for the tzibur. You're not sanctioning your intermarriage. If they're in a position to be mechiyachim, sure. But if they know that's going to fall on deaf ears anyway, then not necessarily. Maybe. Okay. So now the Gemara goes into a little bit about the concept of Chanukah and the seriousness of it. Amar of Shimon Chalaf, the Miyim Shigava Agroifa Shal Chanukah, from the day that the fist, that the power of Chanukah became strong, Nisabsu Adinim, the Dinim. Have become corrupt, that now the Dayanim now are chanfening the Baladin, saying that it's okay, you're doing right, and therefore justice is not done. People's actions are messed up. People see that they're corrupted. People see that people are doing Averis and they're not being Moicha because of Chanukah. Nobody is able to say to the other person, my deeds are greater than yours, because everybody learns to do the same corrupt. Everybody learns to do the same corrupt actions.
Basically, everybody.
You're allowed to chant for the Roshoyim in this world, meaning before Mashiach comes. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Lo yikara oyd novel nadiv." A novel, a degenerate person, will in Mashiach's times no longer be called nadiv, a generous person. Will the kilai lo yema shoya, lo yoma shoya. Kilai, Rashi says over here, means a drunkard. Over there in Yeshaya, on the pasuk in Yeshaya, Rashi explains it means a person who plots evil, whatever it means a no goodness. According to Dhamma, I mean a stingy person, right? Will loya and shoya, he won't be called shoya. We call the boy as a shori, implying that, but nowadays it's mutter. So what is it? We just said what a serious thing Chanukah is. How are we allowing it in this case? So Tosfos says we're talking about over here it's a makom sakana. Actually, Tosfos mentions that a little further. We're talking a little further in the Gemara over here. Where it's a makom sakana is different. We had a case in Nedarim about Ula was traveling together with somebody who killed somebody else, and the guy asked him, "Did I do right by killing him?" And Ula says, "Yes, you did right." And later on, when he comes to Rabbi Yechanan, and he asks, "You know, is that considered Chanukah? Did I do the wrong thing?" And Rabbi Yechanan tells him, "Look, it's not quite salty. You had to do it to save your own life, otherwise he would have killed you too." Rabbeinu Yonah also, when he talks about the Shari Tshuva, but then when he talks about the 9 levels of Chanukah, he says basically when he talks about you can chant for the guy means you give him covered because otherwise he may harm you financially or whatever. Not that you're allowed to actually say outright what you're doing is right. That would be a Chanukah that's also, even if it's a matter of Mesiris, he says you have to call Mesiris Nefesh, even not to do that kind of Chanukah. But instead, this is the kind where you're just honoring him without reference to what he's doing wrong, like that Shuvah of Moshe Feinstein before, is one thing. Matt was saying you're allowed to do to Rishayim because, you know, they're having a good time, Shalom is a chekesloy, and the Eivishna obviously is being marich af with them and not punishing them, so therefore you're not in a position really to do anything. And on the contrary, they can harm you. But if we're talking about the kind of Chanukah where they're actually doing something wrong, you would be having to tell them it's okay, what you're doing is right, that you have to even go on with sort of nefesh to not do.
So you cannot praise them, but you can.
You can honor them in general, like you honor a rich or powerful person. That's our Rabbeinu Yonah.
It might get worse.
Because he's right.
Yeah.
Rav Shimon Lachish Olam Echacher, Rav Shimon Lachish says that another pasuk that expresses this idea that you can chanfer a rosha in this world. Yaakov says to Esav, "Kir ois bnei eliki matitei," that seeing you is just like seeing the face of Hashem, and you accepted me. However, this particular understanding of what Yaakov said disagrees with how Rav Levi understood it. Yeah, we will in a minute. Mashal show Yaakov and Esav l'mal davar doma. This mashal of the situation with Yaakov and Esav. What is it like? Why is Yaakov saying that seeing you is like seeing the face of Elikim, where Elikim can also mean a malach? It's like one person invites another person to a suda. The hikir boishem vakash lahogoy. The invitee realizes that the host is trying to kill him. Amalai, so he says, you know, tam tapshul zeshani toyim. The taste of this food that you're serving me, tapshul shtamti beveis hamelach. It's like it tastes like what I ate at the king's palace. Omar, so now the host thinks to himself, uh-oh, Yodolei Malka, the king knows this guy. Mr. B, so now he's afraid, well, I talk to him and he won't kill him. The same way when Yaakov is telling Esav that seeing you is like seeing the face of a king, he's not saying it's a chan for him, seeing you is like seeing the face of a malach. On the contrary, he's saying, seeing you is like seeing the face of a malach. Wait a minute, he sees malachim. I better not harass him. Yeah. Okay. We'll continue on this topic tomorrow. Thank you, Shem.
Thank you.